Hi, this is Davy Jones, and you're listening to one of the coolest mixes of music I've ever heard. Anything Goes with Lise Avery.
Thank you. Hello, this is Bucky Pizzarelli, and you're listening to Anything Goes with Lise Avery. Good choice.
And you just enjoyed the piano stylings of Mr. Pete Smyser. And if you enjoyed that track, then you know why when I listened to this album of Pete Smyser's, it's called the Jerome Kern Concert Live. And I had the privilege of listening to the whole CD, which is something I don't always do, if you know what I mean. And I said, I've got to get in touch with this gentleman, find out what is going on. Pete Smyser is a virtuoso guitarist residing in Harleysville, Pennsylvania, with his wife, Deanne. And jazz critics have likened Smyser to such legendary guitarists as Wes Montgomery, Joe Pass, and Jim Hall. Nice company, Pete. Pete Smyser is an endorser for American Archtop Guitars and is listed among greats in the book, The Jazz Guitar, Its Evolution, Its Players and Personalities, since the year 1900. And was on the artist roster of the Pennsylvania Performing Arts on tour from 1997 to 2004. He has released 7 CDs as a leader and has appeared on television and radio shows in addition to countless performances at festivals, clubs, universities, and churches. Although his primary style is in the jazz idiom, performing with his custom-made 7-string archtop guitar, Pete's comfortable performing many musical genres, including classical, jazz, blues, contemporary, folk, and more. He studied both classical and jazz music as a teenager and received a full scholarship to attend Temple University in 1985. And as I said before, I've got this album in my hand, Pete Smyser, the Jerome Kern Concert, and we're going to be giving you a chance to win a copy of this album after we have the privilege of welcoming Pete Smyser to Anything Goes. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lise. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Nice album.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad you like it. Getting some good response from that, and I attribute the bulk of that to the great writings of Jerome Kern.
Well, I think you can certainly attribute some of it to Jerome Kern. I think you got to take a little bit of credit there, Pete.
Okay.
You know, because speaking as somebody who receives a lot of CDs and removes a lot of shrink wrap, and, you know, I throw them in the CD player or whatever, and you'd be surprised how quickly they are removed from the CD player. And yours got to stick around for a while because I really had a great time listening to it, and it made me feel good.
That's nice to hear. I'm glad you loved it.
Tell me about how the project came together.
Well, I teach up at Moravian College in Bethlehem, and they are nice enough to give the faculty some opportunities to perform a concert, usually once a year. I like to tie it into the curriculum and make it somewhat educational. So I just, through the years, I've come to love the Great American Songbook and really appreciate the contributions of these great composers. Actually, about 2 years ago, or prior to this one, I featured a concert of Gershwin's music. So I started with that one, and there's clips of that on YouTube. We actually had that videotaped and audio recorded, but figured it was time for Jerome Kern. He's, after all, one of the guys who started all this out with the American Songbook writing and influenced so many of the composers that followed. So Kern it was for this one.
Okay, well, first of all, let's spell your name so people who want to YouTube you, I'm guessing they can look you up just under your name, Pete Smyser, S-M-Y-S-E-R.
That's right, and I'm fortunate that's sort of a unique name. I think if you Google it or go on YouTube with Pete Smyser, there's not going to be too many other names of engineers or lawyers or anything. It's pretty much just me.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And your website is Smyser.com, right, Pete?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Very cool. Well, I have to say that Gershwin I sort of get as a first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Kern, yeah, that's not, I don't know that everybody would go in that direction. So why Jerome Kern?
That's true. And I should mention, too, that I'm already set for a concert coming in January to do a similar live recording of the music of Harry Warren, and I guess the same question could come up for him, because although he's got
Harry
great
Warren.
Songs,
yeah.
People don't always know his name as much as Gershwin or Kern. But Kern, there's just something about his strength of the melody writing that really appealed to me with some of these songs. I mean, you could strip away the chords and just hear those melodies, and they're just beautiful. And then researching it a little bit more, you know, you find out what a strong influence he had. Even Gershwin, there's a quote in one book where he says that his earliest writings of songs were trying to imitate and emulate Jerome Kern. So Gershwin endorsed it that strongly. I figured I'd better investigate a little bit further and try to find some songs that I wasn't familiar with, along with the ones that every jazz musician plays, like All the Things You Are, and tried to find a few hidden gems as well.
That's a really interesting quote. I never heard that.
Yeah.
That George Gershwin had cited that. Well, now, I have to say that you and I are a little bit of telepathic communication, because I also stumbled on the catalog of Harry Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astounded. Do you know, Pete Smyser, that at certain points in musical history, Harry Warren had more top hits on the hit parade, whatever you want to call it, than Irving Berlin?
Yeah, I've discovered that as well, and it's just staggering to look at the list. I mean, it's one great thing about the internet now is you can really research a lot of these things, and there's a great Harry Warren authentic website where they have a lot of these stats and statistics, and yeah, it's amazing. And everybody I tell about this upcoming concert, almost without fail, they say, "Who's Harry Warren?" They all know the names of Kern and Gershwin, but you have to start mentioning the song titles for them to catch on.
Why do you think that is? I have no... First of all, name some song titles for us so everybody can know why you and I are rhapsodizing.
Yeah, so I'm dwindling it down for my performance to try to figure out among this huge list what I want to do, but probably some of the more familiar titles would be An Affair to Remember, Jeepers Creepers. He's got a lot of real fun songs. You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby, Shuffle Off to Buffalo, We're in the Money, but then some great ballads, too. You're Getting to Be a Habit with Me, You'll Never Know, This Is Always, Serenade in Blue. I mean, the list goes on and on. So
it's just amazing, and for some reason, he's not on the tip of our tongue.
I think I read somewhere, and I hope I'm right with this, but someone was saying that he wasn't a guy who was eager to be in the spotlight. You know, to be out on the red carpet, to be in the newspaper. His personal celebrity wasn't something that was very important to him, whereas it might have been more part of the careers of Cole Porter and some of the other people that we're more familiar with. So maybe he didn't push the personal publicity and just kind of let it lie with his songs.
I guess, but somehow we know Billy Strayhorn.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Maybe you just need a few more concerts and CDs and PBS specials to focus on it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, Pete Smyser. So speaking of which, you're going to be performing that concert of Harry Warren tunes up at Moravian College?
Moravian College in Bethlehem. And that's, I mean, it's not till January 25th of the coming year. It'll be a 7:30 p.m. concert. And it's going to be the same band that's on my current CD with Jerome Kern, along with the addition of a saxophonist, a sort of a legendary local Philadelphia saxophonist, Larry McKenna, who's a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. And why aren't you bringing this to New York so we can come and see you?
Well, we'll see what opportunities arise. I actually, in doing the CD release party here in Philadelphia at Chris's Jazz Cafe, that went over real well, and they offered me a date where we're going to actually play the Harry Warren music a week before recording it, which is a nice little dress rehearsal to go through down on January 19th. So, yeah, I'll have to get some booking agents involved and see if we can take it on the road a little bit.
Very nice. Okay, well, you know, Pete, if you've got a few moments to stick around, I'd like to play another cut from Pete Smyser, the Jerome Kern concert. Every once in a while, my mouth gets totally stuck. Pete Smyser, the Jerome Kern concert. And people can buy this by logging onto smyser.com. Is that the best place?
That's there's information on my website on where to buy it, but it steers them towards websites like cdbaby.com.
Okay.
As well as iTunes, if people are comfortable with that site, or Amazon.com.
Very nice. Okay, well, you know, I chose Pick Yourself Up, among other reasons. Of course, Dorothy Field's birthday was yesterday.
There you go.
And plus, I have some really good notes next to it here. So you want to set that up for us, Pete?
Sure, Pick Yourself Up. It's a great song. I've loved it for years, and it's a fun song. This was nice to put this arrangement together because there's an interlude in there. That, I mean, playing it instrumentally without words, I wasn't sure whether to include it or not, but it's a great little fun thing where it drops down to solo guitar. And if you're familiar with the movie with Fred Astaire and all, it's just a portion of the music that's usually left out by jazz musicians.
It's also Ginger Rogers' birthday today, Pete. So it's a double hitter.
Wow, we got to play this song then.
And we will, and you're tuned into Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery, speaking with jazz guitarist, or just plain guitarist, because he mixes genres, Mr. Pete Smizer, and this one from his album, Pete Smizer, the Jerome Kern Concert. Get more information at smizer.com, smyser.com.
Hi, this is Hoagy Bix Carmichael, and you've tuned into Anything Goes with Lise Avery, a show I know Dad would have appreciated.
And today we're talking to Mr. Pete Smizer, and that, of course, was Pick Yourself Up from Pete's the Jerome Kern concert album. You can get more information about that by logging onto Pete's website, miser.com. But if you like what you're hearing, Pete has kindly provided us with a few of these to give away to you. So you got to stick around, and we'll be giving you a chance to win one in just a little bit here on Anything Goes. You still there, Mr. Pete?
I'm still here.
All right, so tell us a little bit more. How did you pick up your guitar? How did that happen?
Oh, I was, I think, about 8 years old. I think my mother wrote down in a baby book at age three, I said I wanted to be a truck driver and play guitar. And I don't have a truck, but I did pick up the guitar. They wouldn't let me start until I was about 8 years old. Started on piano before that for a little while. But something always about the guitar that drew me in. I mean, it wasn't instantly jazz, of course. My generation, I'm sort of in my 40s, so start with pop and rock. But fortunately, my father steered me towards listening to some jazz and classical, bought me a Wes Montgomery record, and had a lot of great stuff around the house. So eventually kind of went that direction a little more.
That was going to be my next question, Pete, because it says born in 1967, so the stuff that you should have been really enamored of would have been the things that we were listening to in the 70s, right? The
mid-70s,
yeah, and it was.
I was in bands in high school with my friends, and we played the current popular stuff, and I hate to share too many of my photographs from high school, what I looked like in the 80s. People wouldn't believe it if they see me and hear me now and what I'm doing. But
you're not alone. None of us looked any good in the 80s.
Yeah, then I got somewhat serious about studying music and studied classical guitar and studied jazz. And I think for a while in my 20s, I played fusion. I played, you know, more commercial jazz as well as gradually. I had like a backwards evolution where I started getting into the music of the 60s a little more intensely, of jazz of the 60s, and then 50s, 40s, 30s. I just kept going further back just to see what it was all about, and just was loving it. So kind of steered away from the popular music of my youth, but I don't know, nowadays there are people hiring me for some solo guitar performances, private parties and things, and now I'm not too shy about mixing in a couple of classic Beatles songs, played solo guitar, and I'm sort of rediscovering some of those songs that I grew up listening to and kind of steered away from for a while, but play a little bit of that too. I mean, my heart's still a little stronger with these classic writings of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, but I won't turn my nose up at a nice song from the 60s or 70s anymore.
As well, you shouldn't. Actually, there was an album that came across my desk, and I cannot remember his name. I'm sorry, I get inundated, that the listeners loved, and it was solo guitar versions of Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah, when you take away, I have students, I have adult students, and I have younger students, and a lot of people have strong opinions about music, of course, and some of these adults in particular, I'll have this conversation time and time again. A lot of times people will have an idea about an entertainer, and maybe if they were super popular, there's sort of a backlash against them, and I'm often trying to encourage them to separate sort of the judgment of, well, look at the lyrics, the melody, the chords. Forget about what you know about them as a performer if you don't happen to like them, and judge the song. I mean, it can be done a number of ways, and I'm enjoying some of the early Bee Gees songs, some great, great writings. There's great music of every era and every generation, so I'm keeping my eyes open and not just going with tunnel vision with certain eras anymore.
Very cool. Well, don't listen to them people with opinions about music. That's why we have this program, and that's why it's called Anything Goes.
Yeah.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for making time to hang out with us today, and congratulations on a really terrific album, and I'm looking forward to hearing some of that Harry Warren material when it is on disc or even before. MP3 on the QT, Pete Smizer.
There you go, a little sneak preview.
I take full advantage.
All right, appreciate that invitation.
All right, Pete. Well, thank you so much. Very nice to meet you. Hope you will stay in touch, and thanks so much for sharing your CDs with my listeners. I'm sure they will enjoy them very, very much.
Great. It was a pleasure.
All right, Pete. Thanks so much. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys, I'll say this. Let's see. We'll take a caller at random right now. who would like to win a copy of Pete's CD, the Jerome Kern Concert. And it's a very cool CD because you can just put it on and let it roll and you will be happy, happy, happy. So give me a shout at 201-692-2012, 201-692-2012. And right now we've got Miss Diane Reeves for you and Old Lady Be Good here on Anything Goes.
Listen to my tale of woe, it's terribly sad but true. All dressed up, no place to go, each evening I'm awfully blue. I miss when some handsome guy can't go on like this. I could blossom out, I know, with somebody just like you. So, oh, sweet and lovely lady, be good. Oh, lady, be good to me. I am so awfully misunderstood. So, lady, be good to me. Oh, please have some pity. I'm all alone in this big